It's Points North on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Peter Payette. Last month, the governor of Michigan hailed the creation of new jobs in Manistee building wind turbines. The Windspire is the product of Mariah Power, based in Nevada. It's a turbine made for homeowners. It spins on a vertical axis, which means it looks like a spinning cylinder. People like the governor say Michigan's future economy will be built on manufacturing renewable energy equipment, just like the Windspire. Unfortunately, the Windspire did not get such glowing reviews from scientists who test these devices at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Colorado. The Windspire's test ended early this winter after equipment failures. Ian Wolfenden is a senior editor at Home Power magazine. He says even though the Renewable Energy Laboratory has not released a full report about the study, it has posted information online about numerous problems the Windspire had during testing.
I happened to visit the testing center last summer and saw the turbine not up, not running, and the staff there were not forthcoming about exactly what was happening with it, but then they did abruptly terminate the testing. When you look at the production numbers, they're miserable. We're showing it was in testing for about 8 months, it generated 108 kilowatt hours. In Michigan terms, I don't know exactly what your utility rate is, but perhaps 20 cents a kilowatt hour. You know, that's $20 of electricity that it made in an 8 month test.
And, actually, the retail price of energy in Michigan is a little more than 8 cents an hour.
Yeah, so there you go. So 108 times 0.08, I was trying to be generous. You know, it's $8.64 worth of electricity that it generated in its test on the NREL site, which is a fairly good site. The problem I see with this company is they're leading people to have expectations that are very high. And this is very, very common with venture capital companies. It's common with vertical axis wind turbines that they raise expectations and then the consumer buys into this thinking they're going to get cheaper electricity and cleaner electricity and they end up disappointed. And I would urge you and as a reporter and your listeners to probe into this and look at the actual cost of energy. The goal here is not to make a spinning sculpture. The goal is to make renewable kilowatt hours. And so we need to look at how many kilowatt hours does this machine actually make in a typical installation, and how much did it cost? And when I run the numbers on other such schemes, I find that, you know, customers end up paying 4 to 10 or 100 times as much for the electricity as if they just stayed with the utility. These sorts of companies tend to promote projects that are not in optimum situations. They're on a very, very short tower. And the reality of wind electricity, I mean, the physical reality is that we need high wind speeds. We need to be up above the obstructions. This particular company gives their rating at a 12-mile-per-hour average wind speed. And that's actually quite a high average wind speed. It's on the high end of what a typical home site would see on a tall tower, on a tower that's, you know, 50 or 100 feet above the houses and the trees. So giving a production prediction based on 12 miles per hour is very unrealistic for a turbine that sits on a 10-foot tower. And on their very website is pictured right next to trees and right next to houses. There just isn't very much of a wind resource in those situations. If we actually measured that resource, we might find that it's a 5 or a 6 mile per hour wind speed. And wind is wind power increases in a cubic function. So if we take 5 times 5 times 5, you know, we get 125 units. If we take 10 times 10 times 10, we get 1,000. That's 8 times the available power by doubling the average wind speed. So, you know, a 5 mile per average wind speed is one that we would rarely tap. We would rarely think it was worth it to invest in equipment to capture that energy. There just isn't very much energy there.
But having a wind turbine in a bad location is one thing. You're saying the winds in, is it Golden, Colorado, where the Windspire was tested were pretty strong, and even out in good conditions, it produced very little energy.
I'd be careful about making a conclusion there because I don't know the average wind speed on the Golden test site. And that's a piece of data that is not there on the, in their report. And I'd like to find that out before I made a strong statement about that. And the report is riddled with problems with the machine. So, I mean, a machine that's broken is obviously, it doesn't matter what the wind resource is. So to be fair to the company, I'd like to see results on a real, in a real test where it was running the whole time and we know what the average wind speed is. But I can tell you that in general, this sort of design, this vertical axis sort of design, will not outperform what's already on the market. The horizontal axis, you know, what we call propeller-style turbines, these vertical machines will underperform compared to them as with the same capture area, the same swept area. And I'd encourage you to look on the internet for a document. If you Google an open letter to inventors, this is a document that my colleague Mick Sicrillo put together, which compiles the claims from these sorts of companies that are selling vertical axis machines, they're selling roof-mounted machines, they're selling machines on short towers, and they all have lots of similar hype, lots of similar marketing, and lots of similar ignoring of the physics and focusing on selling equipment instead of focusing on renewable kilowatt hours, which I think, you know, most of your listeners, their goal is to have cleaner, less expensive electricity. And that's not an easy job with wind. That's a very difficult job, especially with small wind. The smaller the turbine, the more difficult it is to make the economics play out. Utility scale wind, great stuff, you know, very economical, competes with non-renewables. But on the home scale, it's tough. It's a very difficult job to capture wind energy. And companies that make it sound easy are either clueless or they're trying to deceive someone. And you know, you and your listeners will have to judge with this particular company, but I've seen marketing from them that's really quite deceptive. For instance, you know, the typical average wind speeds for a home scale site range from, let's say, 8 to 14, and 14 is an incredible site. I mean, very few people live in a home that has a 14 mile per hour average wind speed. Well, this company has had a chart on their website until recently that showed production up to 30 miles per hour average, which only happens on the top of Mount Washington, New Hampshire, for selected months. You know, it's a very, very rare wind resource, and no one lives with that. No wind farm lives with that. And that they were showing this energy production curve that went way up there to make it look very amazing. And again, I'm not specifically just trying to pick on this company. It's a pattern that we see in the industry. The new companies come in. They don't really necessarily do their homework about what has and hasn't worked before. And they come up with a product, and they market it in a way that gives consumers an unrealistic expectation of what they'll actually get out of the product.
How well is the National Renewable Energy Laboratory doing at, you know, providing what everyone feels is good, objective information that, you know, we can base a discussion around?
I would say that's a little mixed. You know, we are, obviously, that's a government lab. It's funded by our tax dollars. But also you get companies that come in and hire them to do testing. And then there's a mix of government and private money. And I would say in those cases, the information is a little less forthcoming. In this particular case, I mean, I happen to know people at that lab, and I still don't have a clear answer of why this testing was terminated. I'm looking forward to asking those questions in person next month in Wisconsin at our wind conference. But I would rather see more transparency there. This is our money being used to test products, and even if it is mixed with private money, we should have clear access to the information on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I'd like to just see what our money is being used for there.
And do we have any other evidence of I'm getting the sense from you that these vertical wind turbines, which is people could imagine is sort of a spinning cylinder as opposed to the propeller as you described it. Do we have any other evidence about how well this might work?
Well, there's a very long history with verticals. I mean, the Persians used verticals in, 2,000 years ago. So it's not a new technology, and that's one of the things you'll find in that open letter I referred you to. The manufacturers and inventors of these say it's new, it's a great breakthrough. Well, a lot of these are very, very old, and many of these have been tried before in very similar configurations. And as one of the manufacturers of horizontals, propeller style says, this is distracting our industry. It's not that you could not make a vertical to perform well, but there are inherent things in the design that lead me to conclude that it would be very unlikely that there would be a performance increase over what we have today. There are problems with fatigue, there are problems with startup, with shutdown, there are problems with bearings, with how to actually mount these turbines up on tall towers where they belong, where there is actually a wind resource. So if you look back at the history of our industry, you'll see these crop up regularly, and the companies stick around for a little while, and then they disappear as the public discovers, hey, this really isn't magic. It really is a hard job to capture wind energy, and I actually wish someone would make a successful vertical and market it honestly and say, hey, this needs to be on a tall tower. You're not going to get, incredible performance next to your house. It will need maintenance. It will be costly because right now the economics, with subsidized grid electricity, the economics are not always easy. You really need quite a good wind resource. You need a very reliable turbine, and you need incentives to make it pencil out financially. And the reliability is the number one thing. If a turbine that's lying on the ground or has broken parts is producing 0 kilowatt hours, and the payback is infinite. So we need to have reliable operating turbines. It doesn't matter if they're a big advance in efficiency. It doesn't matter if they're beautiful. It doesn't matter if the company is local. We need reliable equipment that keeps churning out kilowatt hours year after year after year to make a cost-effective renewable energy technology.
All right. Well, Ian, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
And Ian Wolfenden is a senior editor at Home Power magazine.